Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T, and I'm continuing my series called Satan's Six Lies and Five Wills. I'm using Tony Evans' book, God Cannot Be Trusted, and Five Other Lies of Satan. Okay, let me start off with Psalms 91, read a few verses, because my whole series on the subject is based off of Psalms 91, and I encourage you to read it. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence by day. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord my refuge, even my Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall upon me, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." Praise the Lord. And I want to open up and or just read, and I've read this before, but I think it does, it needs to be repeated. And it's in 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, get your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's where I'm turning to. Can you hear that sound? I love that sound. Right there. It's the sound of the pages of the Bible. I just love that. Tell that to my students when I'm teaching them different times. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3, Paul was very concerned about those he was teaching, which he should be, because he really loved them and wanted them to know the truth. But he said this about the enemy, Satan. And this is who we're talking about. Satan, the enemy, the adversary, also known as the devil, who is a slanderer and a false accuser, and he's an invisible force. And if you haven't listened to the other episodes, go back and listen to them at www.lovebyexample.com, because we're exposing Satan's lies with the truth, because Satan speaks. He thinks. He speaks. And he speaks words. And if we believe those words and we don't line them up with the plumb line of God's word, we'll be duped and following his ways. And that's his whole plan, to steal, kill, and destroy God's word for our lives. And we've looked at Genesis, and we're going to go back and look at that again with our first parents. But right here in Corinthians, with those whom he loved, he says, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt by the simplicity that is in Christ." And that's my whole thing, brothers and sisters. I am really concerned that believers really understand that they know there's, most believers know that there's a devil and Satan, but they don't really, haven't really grabbed the fact that the devil speaks. And when he speaks lies, John 8:44, and those lies are formed in words and thoughts in our head. And if we don't cast them down, cut them off, wax them off, and we choose to believe them, that's our will. Remember, we're spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is our brand new nature in Christ Jesus. It is perfect. It is right with God. And we have to worship God from that spirit, but that's all done by faith. Once you've been born again, you have his imputed righteousness, his spirit, divine connection, connected with God, divine power, divine promises. As he is, so we are. But our mind, which is our mind, and our emotions and our will, and our brain and body, they didn't get perfected. They still need to be renewed. So this is why you need to be in the Word of God. Okay, because otherwise Satan's adversaries and his people will speak lies, which I'm going to share one here just in a minute. But right here in 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." See, not fleshly, not human. They're not from the human point of view or perspective or philosophy or anything, but supernaturally, mighty in God, for what? Pulling down strongholds. Another word is addictions, demonic patterns and habits, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's what I'm doing on this show. I am punishing disobedience that comes against God's word, because my obedience, submission to the Lord, is in the Lord. So I have the authority that I can do that and expect things to happen. Now let me just share this quick lie that was posted on Facebook, and I actually put it on my timeline. So if you're connected with Facebook at all, just go to my timeline. Let me find it. You may have seen it, but talk about a lie. Look at this. I'm just going to read it quickly. It's a news a broadcaster interviewing another person, one of Satan's adversaries, and this is what I posted. I said, "This is totally demonic toxic thinking. Please don't buy into it. Please just check the plumbing below. God has created them simple and clear." This is a person that's representing parents that have decided to no longer wait until their babies are born or see what sex they're going to be. So they decided that, and the experts decided that they're going to call them babies, babies, T-H-E-Y-B-I-E-S, babies. And the reason they're going to do that, they're not going to decide their gender at all until they're later in life, which is 4 years old. So basically, from 0 to 4 years of age, they're not going to call the baby or label the baby as a girl, pretty princess, or a strong soldier, or anything that makes them think that they're a boy or a girl between 0 and 4. They're going to wait until the 4 years old and then let the baby decide if it wants to be a boy or a girl. That's what's going on now. And I thought, what? So parents are embracing this gender-neutral babies. Babies. So there's a perfect example of Satan's toxic lies, toxic strongholds, being believed and now being broadcast and trying to get a group of people to believe this lie. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, Satan's number one lie, we talked about in Tony Evans' book that I'm coming from, God cannot be trusted, and 5 other lies. Number one, he doesn't want you to believe he exists. Obviously, these people don't. That are calling their babies, babies. And that he's holding out on you. And this is what we talked about last time. And this is part B of the second lie. I'm going to do 3 parts to each lie. So if you missed the others, just go back at www.lovebyexample.com. But let me just get in here, jump into Tony Evans' book, and let's see where it takes us. So last time we talked about, and Tony helped us to see, he used basketball as an illustration about having boundaries and limitations. And that with the freedom of playing the game, you got to have boundaries. And he used as an analogy of life that God has given us. He has given us freedom, you know, and he goes back to the garden. I love that. Back in Genesis, here's the freedom of all these trees, any of these trees, freely you can eat from, but of this one tree you can't. So you had these 2 choices, but God knew, because he knew the enemy was there, and he gave this prohibition, but Adam and Eve chose not to believe what God said, and the rest is unfortunately a bad history that we're still feeling the effects of. Your choices today will affect people tomorrow. Just think about that. So he uses basketball as an illustration that if you don't go by the rules, then the game is not going to be played the way it was intended to be played. And it's the same thing with life. So let me just read here from his book. The most loving not ever spoken. We need to understand that when God gives us prohibitions against something, it is so he can give us more freedom. Sounds like a contradiction. Well, it's something like a paradox. Speaking through Moses, God commanded his people, "You shall not covet." To covet is to have a consuming desire for something that doesn't belong to you. It could be something like a house or a car or a promotion, or it could be a woman or a man, another man's wife and another woman's husband, that allows this desire, this coveting desire, grabs you and causes you to have a desire to be consumed with this person in your mind first and then in your actions. But when you cross that line, that's when you have sinned in your thought life and in your actions. And God is telling us we need to cut it out. And I love that, because he really is. Remember when he said in Matthew chapter 5, 28, that, you know, you've heard it said this and that. But he said, you heard it said that if you kill somebody, that you're going to get in trouble. Basically, he goes, no, if you even think anger in your heart, you've already murdered on the outside. And then he said, if you lust after a woman and you desire, you know, you have these sexual thoughts and pornography in your mind, all that stuff. He says, look, even if you don't commit adultery, you've already done it in your mind. So the point is, he's showing everything begins in the thought life. Everything begins in the thought life. And the only way we can pluck it out, the only way we can cut it off, he said, if your right eye offends you, cut it out. If your left, your right hand offends you, cut it off. Because it's better for you to go through this life with that out of your off your body, that particular stronghold habit gone, than to have the whole body being thrown into hell. So, or just having your whole body walking in this earth and inundated with these toxic, lying thoughts. So he wants us to cut it off. He wants us to shake it loose and get this stuff out of our thought life. And the only way we can do it now, we have a part in it. You have to first be born again and have his spirit come and live inside you, changing your old spirit, getting rid of that old man, as the scripture says, and giving you a new man, a new spirit that gives you new power. You have that new position. And then you can start performing by faith through just reading and believing his word and memorizing his word. That's what we do here. My 3 M's is in my book. Do you see what I see? And this is what I'm trying to get you to do that's listening, to really evaluate yourself. Really look inside your heart, because God looks in the heart. He's not looking at the things that you do. And the things that you do and don't do don't give you acceptance towards God. It's having a brand new born again heart through Jesus Christ and him alone. And Paul said, look, I'm afraid for you believers here in Corinth that you are being swept away by these lies and these masquerading people saying different things that are coming against the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, basically. And then he said in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, hey, you got to look out, because they were attacking Paul in his position too. And look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh my gosh. He says, and no, right here, he says in 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves to be apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers are transforming themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, just like this story I read in the beginning, what do you think that this 4-year-old, if he's given this choice, hey, are you a boy or are you a girl? What do you want to be? And the girl says, well, I want to be a boy. And the boy says, I want to be a girl. And then they start propagating this false propaganda, and they start gathering other babies that want to be like them. And they have these support groups. You know what's going to happen? If it keeps going on like that, believe me, they're going to have laws. Some kind of laws where we, normal people that believe in the Creator, are going to have to bow down to them. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this world is getting dark. And you know what? I want to also say, too, a special prayer goes out to those families in California. I meant to say that earlier, but pray for those people in California. And also, too, speaking about prayer, you know, we have a prayer ministry every Monday at 5:45. You can call in 768-0428, or you can contact me and get the PIN number if you want to, and we can pray together. And I would love to have you be a part of that. Go online. There's information there about our prayer time, or text me, or email me. We'd love to pray, because we need to be praying, because this world is really getting darker, but God's light should be shining brighter. So most of my messages are targeted to believers, to stir you up, those professing believers that say they believe in Jesus Christ, to begin to have and press into the intimate relationship that God has for you. Because I'm telling you, it says in Matthew 16, what does it profit if you gain the whole world, believe all these lies, be double-minded, be just, you know, believe, never waxing off and waxing on these toxic thoughts, and you're just kind of just going through the motion. What does it profit you to gain the whole world and then lose your soul? See, lose your soul. So here Tony says that God gives us these prohibitions to protect us because he loves us. He says, now think. He said, now he says, I want you to think for a moment about the freedom God gives us when he tells us not to covet. He says, think about it. When you or someone you know had a consuming desire for something you couldn't have legitimately, that didn't bring freedom, did it? Did it bring peace and love and joy? No. Tony says it brought anguish, anger, and jealousy, and so on and so forth. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. And now let me read. See, the carnal mind is an enmity against God. That's Romans 8, 5 to 11. Let me read that. Carnal mind just means a fleshly mind, a mind that's not spiritual. It's not focused on the spiritual things of God. It's not focused on discovering and developing who they really are in Christ. Remember that poem I wrote? Mirror, mirror in my hand, this face I see is not who I am. Deep inside, beneath my skin, I'm born again. Alive in Him? See, that's Romans 6. Wanting more of you to give, help me, Lord, to really live. I submit to you in every way. My selfish will must die each day. Take control as I gaze at you. Transform my heart. I love you. Mirror, mirror in my hand. I speak to who I really am. That's at 2 Corinthians 5:17. And God tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is the good, see, and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's it. Now, whether people believe it or not, I mean, when I posted this on Facebook, whether people accept it or not, the point is, I said what I had to say to defend my God, the Creator. Now, listen to this. In Romans 8, for those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratifies the body. Okay, now remember, what you think, your soul, affects your brain and produces those different dendrites and chemicals. I talked about that. I mean, it's just there. And because your mind controls your brain. Your brain doesn't control your mind, okay? But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now, the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. And we already talked about what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is disobedience. Sin is contrary to what God's word says. This post that I talked about earlier, the babies, that is contrary to what God said. She goes, who cares about whether it's a boy and a girl? It doesn't matter. Let them decide. See, that's relativism. That's humanism. That's demonic. That's like saying, I don't care. If I was to ask that lady, do you believe in God created the heavens and the earth? He created man as a man and Eve, a woman as a woman. She'd probably say no. That's demonic. That's what you got to be careful about. You got not just that, but you just got to be careful about the subtleties of Satan. That's why I'm doing this show. He says in verse 6, now the mind on the flesh is death. Now remember, I talked about death. Don't just see death as spiritually dropping dead, physically. It's spiritual separation from God. And that separation can last as long as you are believing lies. And a lot of people are holding on to grudges and unforgiveness, and bitterness and toxic thinking and memories, things that have happened to them in the past like 20 to 30 years. I know some. I know families and members, and I even experienced it with different people in my family where people weren't talking to each other because of simple things. Well, you know what was happening while they weren't talking? Death and sin were operating in their lives, even if they tried to cover it up with religious do's and don'ts. My goodness. He said, because it brings forth, when you pursue sin, sin brings forth death. But the mind that's set on the Spirit, it brings life and peace. So if you have life, now I'm talking about life, not just living and existing. I'm talking about abundant life, a purposeful life. You know why you are alive. You get up in the morning, you're praising God, the joy of the Lord, your strength. You might have some bumps and lumps coming here, but it's all good because you got the word going on inside. You just speak the word of God. You got the word of faith because you know who you are and why you are here. And you have peace in the midst of that. The spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God in this intimate, developing relationship. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuit, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit to God and His laws. You know why? Because it can't, because it's sinful. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. Now, that was from the Amplified Version, Romans 8:5-9. So, brothers and sisters, this is important that we understand God is not holding out on us. See, it's all about how you see things. God wants us to be free of those kinds of thoughts and demonic emotions so that we can make good, godly choices. You know, it's really only two choices. It's like two trees and two ways, just like in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil or the tree of life. Look at it this way. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is selfishness. The tree or pride, and the tree of knowledge, a tree of life is selflessness. That's God. That's God's way. And if you go to Matthew chapter 7, I won't read it, but it said, enter the narrow gate, and wide is the gate, and broad is the way. Let me read this. And I love this because he's telling us that there's two ways. There's two ways, two gates, two destinations, two groups of people, two kinds of trees, two kinds of fruit, two groups of judgment, and two kinds of builders, two kinds of foundations. And the thing is, they say, both say that they lead to life, but only one leads to life. And that is the narrow way. And the only way you're going to know the difference, you're going to have to be in the Word of God. So you always have choices. You have the power to choose. Deuteronomy 30:19. Life or death, blessings or cursing, but God wants you to choose life. So it's very important that you see this. And when you enjoy, when you see this, you'll begin to enjoy your freedom legitimately without guilt and shame, without violating any of God's precepts and commandments. Tony says, however, if we see is you shall not cover, we tend to see his commandments as confining. God is telling us that we can't have, we'll see it, that God is telling us we can't have legitimate desires and we desire these things. Instead of focusing on what we can't have, focus on what you can have. See, that's what Adam and Eve should have did. They should have focused on the trees they could eat. Because remember, he said in there that you could have from every tree, any tree in the garden, you may eat freely. Well, when Eve spoke back to Satan, if you read that in chapter 3, verse 2, if you see that, she omitted the word any and freely. She misquoted him. See, you don't want to have dialogue with Satan any kind of way. You just don't, even ruminating on thoughts in your mind and what people have done things to you and things that that's hurt you and things that you did and you get mad at yourself because you didn't shoulda coulda woulda and all that kind of stuff. When you dwell on that and you go in your pity party, you know, I learned this, when you have a pity party, the only people that come, only things that come is demons and Satan. And you don't want, you know, so they're in this party with you and you're just, you know, poor me, and you're playing this victim role and what about me, and they don't understand me, nobody, it's just me. That's selfishness. You're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it is not good. And you need to look at, I'm just saying, you need to look at your cup as half full and running over. Think about the things that God has given you. Think about those trees that God has given them in the garden. They had all those trees, any of those trees they could have ate, but they chose not to choose the right choice, basically. And so how do we overcome these satanic lies? How do we detect these lies? And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, Romans 6, 7, and 8 are a good place to start, especially Romans 7. I've been talking about Satan a lot, but I've still been saying how Satan thinks and how he forms words. And if we believe those words, how we adopt them and how they'll affect our mind and our emotions and our will. So I want you to see that it's not just all Satan, but it's Satan and his lying words. And you need to go back and listen to the other broadcast that I did to get that flow. So one way of closing that back door, seriously, is Romans 6, 7, and 8. Those words. Romans 7 is a great place. I thank God for Romans 7. You just need to understand, it's not all Satan. We are responsible for the thoughts that we think. We are. Somebody said, I can't remember, but somebody said that you can't stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can stop that bird from laying an egg in your head or building a nest. So, you know, you can't stop different temptations that come at you. We're tempted every day. I mean, you know, every day we have choices, but you can choose whose choice, you can choose whose voice you're going to believe. And I pray that you will choose to believe God and shake off these toxic thoughts, these lying thoughts that the enemy wants you to believe. Because God loves you. He has a plan for you. And I just pray as we come to a conclusion, I got one more setting to do in this second lie that God is holding out on you. The first one, Satan doesn't want you to think he exists. But we're going to talk about making that positive choice, choosing life so you and your family can live. I love you. Shake off that stuff.
in the Bible day.